This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار نعوذ بالله من النار ومن أهل النار. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him. We seek His assistance. We seek His forgiveness. He whom Allah guides, no one can misguide. And he whom Allah allows to go astray, no one can guide. And I bear witness and testify that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alone without any partners. And I bear witness and testify that Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, our beloved Prophet, is Allah's final messenger. O you who have believed, be conscious of Allah as He deserves. And do not die except in a state of submission as Muslims. O you who have believed, be conscious of Allah and say that which is upright. For if you do so, Allah will rectify your actions for you and forgive you your sins. And whomever obeys Allah and His Messenger, they have attained the highest of success. As to what follows, the best of narrative is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Qur'an. And the best of guidance is the guidance of our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And the worst of affairs, the worst of matters are that which is invented in this complete way of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down to us, Islam. And every invention will lead astray. And everything that leads astray leads to the hellfire. We seek refuge in Allah from the hellfire and the people of the hellfire. My dear brothers, my respected sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to welcome you tonight. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you peace and tranquility. And furthermore, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He has gathered us here on this blessed night, in this blessed masjid, to gather us with our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in the highest of Jannah. My dear brothers and sisters, as narrated by Bukhari on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that when the verse وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ was revealed, the verse which says and warn the nearest, the closest of your kindred, was revealed to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam made his way to the Mount of Safa. And we've all heard of Mount of Safa, right? Safa wal Marwa, when we go perform Hajj. And he climbed that mount, and he was atop of a Safa, and he started to call upon the people. He started to gather the people. O people of this tribe, O people of that tribe, until the people started to gather around him. And those who were not able to heed his call, they sent messengers. They sent their workers, their slaves. They said, go and see why Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, why is he calling upon the people to gather? Go and get me the news from our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And see, he told the people, O people of Quraysh, if I were to tell you, there is an army behind me, behind this mountain, a cavalry, Would you believe me? Would you heed my advice? So they said, Na'am. Wallahi ma jarrabna alayka illa sidqa. And in another narration, ma jarrabna alayka kadiba. He said, of course, yes, we will believe you. We have never, ever heard you say anything but the truth. And in another narration, we have never heard you lie. So he told them, people of Quraysh, I am a warner from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have come to warn you from a punishment that is near. The punishment of hellfire. And so, Abu Lahab said his infamous saying of, damn you, is this what you have gathered us for? To tell of this nonsense? And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses, تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ. And we're all familiar with that chapter of the Qur'an. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was one man. And he climbed atop of the Mount of Safa and called onto the people. And what did the people do? They gathered. The people came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. If you or me or anyone goes to the middle of the street and starts calling on to the people, when people gather around him, let's think about it for a second. The younger guys, if you were in a cafeteria in your school and you climbed that stage and you started calling on to the people, will they gather? No, right? But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as soon as he started yelling or calling on to the people, people that could not make it sent messengers. Go listen to what Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is going to say. It's important. We need to hear it. This man, he's worth his weight in gold. We need to hear what he is saying. And this is before prophethood. And so, what was the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam labeled as? Honest, okay. Come on, I know there's more energy in the masjid. I know guys are shy and stuff like that out here in the West, but...
Helpful to the other people.
Okay, no, but he had a laqab. He had something. Ahsantum, barakallahu feekum. As-sadiqul amin. The truthful one, the trustworthy one. That was the characteristic of the Prophet. That is what Quraysh, the disbelievers, knew him as. And so, as soon as he had something to say, the people listened. Because they knew this man will say nothing but the truth. In his actions, there's nothing but the truth. And so, that is why, my dear brothers and sisters, the topic for tonight is about the truth and truthfulness. Basically, truth exemplified. And so, who can tell me what is the definition of truth? Or something that is true? What does that mean? If I ask you, define true, what does that mean? Anyone? Real. I don't know if you guys are used to interactive sessions here, but it's all interactive. The less work I have to do, inshallah, the more we can get you involved. True? Truth? Sidq, yes. What is the definition? It's something that is in accordance to reality, to fact. And the truth is a noun. It's something that is used to describe a people or something as being truthful. Now, we cannot be described as the truth, right? Who does that belong to? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one
that can be named the truth. But how about truthfulness? It's an adjective, which means it is used to modify, it's added to a noun to modify it, to give it a trait. So we might not be the truth, but can we be truthful? Okay, so we have three people that want to be truthful. That's good, I guess. We can be truthful. This is something that we can seek. And this is in essentially the guidance of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Can you imagine the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam without that trait? Would anyone take the message of Islam seriously? No. They wouldn't believe him. And subhanAllah, this is all the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he had characterized our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in such a manner. He had given him such attributes and characteristics. Such praiseworthy characteristic. Is there someone here that is, you know, would look at someone and say, oh, this guy is truthful, man. Like, so what a bad trait. What a bad characteristics. I want nothing to do with this person. Is that the case? No. So much so that people that are blunt, who are truthful and they are blunt, they're sometimes more beloved to us because they say it how it is. They give it to you straight. Yeah, they're not trying to compliment you or to, you know, make you feel good. Hey, this is the truth, man. Like it, you know, take it or leave it, right? Now, of course, that's not the best way to, you know, deal with the believers and the Muslims and the non-believers, right? And we follow an example of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But the point here is that that is such a praiseworthy characteristic. Something that we want to attain. Something that we want to have. We want to instill in our children. What do you do when your child lies to you? You let him off with a lie? You probably ground him? Yeah? Or you tell him you can't play this console anymore and no more games or no more going outside or, you know, time out? I didn't say that. Now, I don't know if the camera has him in view, but there's no record of it. But the point is, my dear brothers and sisters, is that this is something praiseworthy. This is something that we want to instill in our children and we want to possess ourselves. I mean, let alone the fact that the Prophet ﷺ possessed such a trait. How easy would that make your life? Being known as somebody that is truthful. Even in your da'wah. And we're all du'a here. We're all representatives of Islam and the prophetic guidance. Well, that might not be our career, or that might not be our calling specifically, but we all, in one way or another, call others to Islam. Whatever version of Islam they see from us. So then, what is the definition of truthfulness, of being truthful? Our scholars, may Allah be pleased with all of them, may Allah preserve all of them, they give a beautiful definition. They say truthfulness, or being true, is when your inward affairs, your inward actions, your inward beliefs conform to that of your outward actions and affairs and beliefs. They gotta meet up. There has to be that connection. So whatever is on the inside, whatever is between me, my private life, privately, conforms with that which is public, that which is social. And so, let's give an example. Perhaps we can illustrate it better with an example. I believe that I need to pray. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed 5 prayers on us and that we must pray. It's a, you know, it's a bare minimum. It's a requirement of one's Islam. This is a belief I have. Now, if I go a day without one prayer, has my belief on the inside, does it meet or does it conform with my actions? I believe that zakah needs to be paid. And when that year comes, when the hawl on whatever possessions I have comes, I don't pay my zakah. Are you truthful? Is this the definition of being truthful? I believe that everyone is created equal in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the best amongst us are those who are pious. The only elevation you get is through righteousness and piety. This is what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. This is a belief. How I deal with my fellow brothers and sisters, with mankind in general, is the opposite of that. Am I being truthful? The examples are clear. It makes sense. Everybody on the same page with me here?
Can we call, like, say, that person is truthful, but is that person trustworthy?
Well, my topic is truthfulness, inshallah. We'll leave that to the question and answer, and we'll get to that, inshallah. So, these are some examples, right? But in order to understand it even better, we have to look at that which is opposed to the truth. On the other side, on the flip coin, right? What would that be? Someone is truthful, alhamdulillah. They meet the criteria, the definition, their beliefs, inwardly and outwardly, they conform, they're spot on. The person that has a discrepancy in that, what do we call them? Allah. Ahsanta. It's beautiful. How come we don't call them a liar? Why are they called a hypocrite?
It's worse than a liar,
okay. The reason is that truthfulness is so encompassing. Truthfulness is in our speech. It's in that in which we utter. It's in our actions. It's in our beliefs. It's encompassing. And so lying is with what? The tongue. And so it does not define the lying of the heart and the actions. No, there's a bigger term for that. There's a worse term for that. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Someone who is a hypocrite is the opposite of someone who is truthful. See, we don't pay attention to these subtle, differences, if you will. And the reason I say subtle, my dear brothers and sisters, is because we know what it is to be truthful, but we overlook what it is to be a hypocrite. And these, you're either this or that. There's no middle ground. You will have traits of hypocrisy. Not saying anybody here is a hypocrite. Not saying anyone that's not truthful is a hypocrite. But there are traces. There are traces. So you either have traces of truthfulness, you are truthful, you are true, or you have traits or traces of hypocrisy. You're a munafiq, or have some nifaq. And it was, narrated by Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, four characteristics or four qualities, if they are found in someone, then they are an absolute hypocrite. They're an absolute hypocrite. And if they have some of these characteristics, then they have some nifaq. They have some hypocrisy in them. May Allah protect us all from hypocrisy and make us truthful. And we all have heard this hadith. I'll start you guys off. in Tumina Khan. Have you guys heard this before? The four characteristics of hypocrisy? In Tumina Khan. So if he is entrusted with something, he betrays that trust. What's the second quality?
إِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ.
أحسنت. بارك الله فيك. إِذَا. So let's start from the beginning. We said in Tumina Khan. So if he is entrusted with something, he betrays that trust. Now, when you entrust somebody with something, is it just verbal? If you come to somebody and you entrust them, you tell them, "Akhi, I'm leaving town. I need you to take care of this. Or I need you to take care of that. Or I need you to hold on to this. I need you to look after this or that." Is it only verbal? There's action in it, right? There's action. So what does that person do? They betrayed their trust. They were not truthful in that commitment that they made, that trust that they had given that person. And the second quality is إذا حدث كذب. If he speaks, he lies. If he speaks, he lies. So see, this is part of hypocrisy. It does not stand. Lying alone is not the opposite of truthfulness. No, it's part of it. Part of it. Somebody that speaks and they lie. And I know you guys have come across at least one person in your life. May Allah protect us and guide these people, whoever they may be. You know that person that when they speak, you just want to put your fingers in your ears? You know that whatever he's going to say is a lie. You're like, man, don't talk. It's okay, man, we're good. Don't talk. I don't want to hear anything from you. I'm not going to believe a word. Whatever it may be. Whatever it may be. It can be written in stone, man. I don't want to hear it from you. It's going to change my perception. Anybody? You guys come across that example in your life? That one person, you're like, Allahu musta'an. Please, stop. I don't want to hear a lie today. And this is part of hypocrisy. The third quality, إِذَا عَاهَدَ غَدَرْ. إِذَا عَاهَدَ غَدَرْ. So if he makes a promise, not only does he break that promise, غَدَرْ. غَدْر is treachery. They are treacherous. So they make you a promise, say, you know what? Go have your lunch break. When you come back, this seat is yours. You come back, there's no seat at all. It's a lighter example, but just to kind of get the meaning across. They are treacherous when they make a promise. It's as if that promise, when they made it, in their heart, they didn't really mean it. They made it to get some type of gain, some personal benefit. And so you find this out later. Because you find out that they were treacherous with what they had promised you. They broke off what they had promised you. Subhanallah. These are the qualities of a hypocrite. And last but not least, إِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَر. إِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَر. So, if he gets in an argument or a debate or some type of discussion with someone, it says fajr. Fajr meaning they act with impunity, like they are insulting. They're insulting. And subhanAllah, it's telling. It's very telling. Sometimes I think to myself and I say, if I get in a disagreement with someone, right? Why would this be under the qualities of hypocrisy? Why would that be under the qualities of hypocrisy? And subhanAllah, if you think about it, when you're arguing with someone, when you're debating with someone, right? What would be the only reason that you would start getting, acting in a prudent manner or insulting? Is when you know you're wrong, right? Would there be any other reason? You're right and you start insulting someone? Does that make sense? It's when you are wrong. Because you cannot deal, you cannot handle it. What's on the inside comes out. Your belief, your actions, your speech is contradicted. And so you start insulting the person. And these are all qualities of hypocrisy. Now, if there is truthfulness in all of these, if we say, إِذَا حَدَّثَ صَدَقْ, for example, if he speaks, he is truthful. Is there anything but praiseworthiness for this trait? No, because there's no agenda. There are no, you know, underlying messages. This is what I believe. This is what I'm acting on. They conform. They meet up. And for people, this is why it's so praiseworthy. Because you can tell the person is sincere. You know, we can't guarantee somebody's sincerity or speak on somebody's sincerity. We can't say this person was 100%, you know, truthful, or this person was, you know, he had a little bit of, you know, riya, showing off, or whatever. You can't. But through the actions, you can get an idea. Somebody says, I believe in the shahada, in the tenets of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. We say, okay, it's excellent, alhamdulillah. Then you see them doing something that is in disagreement with this tenet that they had taken, or this shahada, this testimony they had taken. Right away, you don't need somebody to tell you that this person is, you know, we're not talking about somebody's Muslim or not Muslim and making takfir and all of that. No, no, my dear brothers. Beware of that. We're talking about the image you get from that person. They're no longer trustworthy. They're no longer truthful to you. You can't trust them. Somebody says, I love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And then the guidance of the Prophet is behind their back. The word of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam means nothing. Ya akhi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, I'm living my life. Where's the truthfulness in that, my dear brothers and sisters? Being truthful is not something that, you know, we sit here and talk about. It's not something that we look at and try to examine. No, it's something that we have to enact, something that we have to implement. And like we mentioned, it's not that difficult. It's not that difficult to implement. With the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can be truthful. Why not? That lie that's going to come out of your mouth, you can't stop yourself from lying? Or that action that is going to contradict the guidance of the Qur'an or the guidance of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you can't stop yourself from doing that? We can. But we're not motivated. We're not encouraged. And so, let's give you some encouragement, my dear brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. All you who have believed, place a barrier between you and the punishment of Allah. And be with the truthful ones. It's the word of Allah. It can't be said any better. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you are conscious of me, mindful of me, if you place a barrier between yourself and my punishment by fulfilling my commandments and abstaining from what I have prohibited, and you are with the truthful one, that's it, you're set. With the truthful ones, you're set. That's pretty good motivation, don't you think? It's very strong. Who will not want to be with the truthful ones? The highest people in Jannah, the highest levels are reserved for who? Prophets, okay. Shuhada, martyrs, okay. Salihin, righteous and pious people, and Siddiqin. Those who are truthful, Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what you're doing. He knows your beliefs. He knows the actions you take. You might be able to fool someone, but you cannot fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You might get away with it with someone, but not with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment calls you forth and starts to question you, why didn't you pray? No, I believe salah is something you commanded. No. Why did you not pray? I'm not asking you about your beliefs. I'm asking you about your actions. They were not confirmed by your beliefs. Having those beliefs is not enough. You have to carry through. You have to see it through. That belief, you have to be truthful in it. And when you're truthful, it translates into action. So, that ilm, that knowledge that you have, if you are truthful and sincere in it, Allah will know it. And then, you will be safe. It will translate into action. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, did you pray? Yes, I did pray. Okay, so it's set. Your belief is there. But when you say, no, I didn't pray, then there's not a need to go into your belief. There's no point. There's no point. And so, let's carry on the encouragement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيُجْزِيَ اللَّهُ الصَّادِقِينَ بِصِدْقِهِمْ. So you tried your best, and you're trying to be grouped with the truthful ones. That's it. This is our goal now, inshallah. We're changing, we're going to be sincere in this. We want to end up with the truthful ones. We want to be with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. No? Anybody here object? Okay, alhamdulillah. This is who we want to be with. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the companions, the truthful ones. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِيَجْزِيَ اللَّهُ الصَّادِقِينَ بِصِدْقِهِمْ. So Allah says, look, you're truthful, you're with that group, thumbs up. This is awesome. This is good. Then Allah goes one step further and says, and those who are truthful, Allah will reward them with what? Their truthfulness. Ya Allah. What better reward would you get than that? To be rewarded with the truthfulness that you had. So, you prayed, you were truthful in your belief, you're set with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because, why do we say this? وَمَا جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. And is the reward of goodness anything but goodness? Of course not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you doing goodness, and truthfulness is part of that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in turn will be better to you than you were to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I believed that I should fast in Ramadan. And when I meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sees my actions and He rewards me with that truthfulness. Not because of my action. No. Our actions might not take us to the levels that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate us to. It's not the action. You cannot repay Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can try, and this is what we strive to do. We worship Allah as He deserves. But we cannot repay Him through our actions. And subhanAllah, Allah is willing to repay us for what? For our truthfulness. For being truthful in our actions, in our beliefs, in our affairs, whatever they may be. No matter how small they are. And on the day of judgment, there will be people that will come in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they will have no truthfulness. They will have none of that. They believed and they said and all of that, but they were not truthful. They were hypocrites. They had traces of hypocrisy. There will be people on the day of judgment that will come in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He says, فَلَوْ صَدَقُوا اللَّهِ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. if they were truthful with Allah, it would have been better for them. Goes back to us. If we're truthful with Allah, it's not benefiting anybody but ourselves. If you believe in Islam, in the Quran, in the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ, then act upon it. Show your truthfulness. Otherwise, you'll be amongst these people on the Day of Judgment. Allah will say, if they were truthful, it would have been better for them. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say this? Because He gave us the guidance. He gave us all of the means to attain Jannah. And to attain the highest level of Jannah. But we were not truthful with ourselves and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other group of people on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ اللَّهُ هَذَا يَوْمُ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ. And Allah says on that day, Allah says, this is the day in which those who are truthful will benefit with their truthfulness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us truthful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the truth in all of our affairs and to give us the strength to act upon that. So, my dear brothers and sisters then, how can we be truthful? It's a $1 million question. How can we be truthful? First and foremost, we need to be truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to be truthful with our Creator, with our Provider, with our Sustainer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how do we do that? How do we begin to be truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Simple. We need to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to learn and educate ourselves on who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is our Lord? Who is our Creator? You say, I worship Allah and you know nothing of Him? What truthfulness is there in that? What truthfulness is there? Yes, Allah is the Provider. Okay. And you're depending on other people. What truthfulness is in this? You say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will guide me, the one who will answer my prayers, and you're calling on to other people. What kind of truthfulness is that? How can we be sincere? How can we rectify our intentions like that? We can't. We have to understand who we are worshipping. I mean, as we grow older, our connection needs to grow closer and stronger to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can't be moving backwards. We can't be saying, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my Lord, and fighting and for, you know, for Allah, and saying and standing up for Allah and this and that, and you don't have that belief of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. You don't act on that belief. Secondly, my dear brothers and sisters, being conscious and mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every Jum'ah, the Khatib stands on the minbar, on the pulpit, and he says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ittaqullah. Once, twice, thrice, ittaqullah. Be mindful of Allah, be conscious of Allah, be cognizant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are we? Are we mindful of Allah? In our actions, in affairs, in our matters, with our family, with our friends, with ourselves, are we conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or do we just do what we want to do? And maybe think about it later. Oh, you know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't be pleased with this. Maybe I shouldn't have done it. Why? Why is it that we don't ask ourselves that question in the beginning? Will this please Allah or not? I need to move, I need to take a new job, I need to get married, have a child, whatever it may be. Will this please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Will this be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That'd be your first question. Not what's my remuneration gonna be, or how big my house is gonna be, or how beautiful my wife is gonna be, or all good stuff, alhamdulillah, but that's not the point. We have to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of our actions. Uthman radiallahu anhu, one of the four rightly guided khalifas, Uthman radiallahu anhu, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, that he was so shy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah was shy of him. Subhanallah. That's the connection. That's the connection these companions, our beloved companions, had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had a deep love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, that is the third thing. We have to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by love, I mean we have to dedicate ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yaqi, when you love someone, you do everything for them. Is that not right? Is that not true? Whatever it is. You know, your wife is pregnant, 3 a.m. in the morning, she wants something. You know, you're driving out in the cold, trying to get whatever she wants. Your parents want something, you're on top of it. Because you love them, right? Your friends, your best friend, the community, the masjid, whatever it may be. If you have that love, then it'll be easier for you. Is it difficult sitting with your parents? Spending time with your parents? I urge the younger ones not to answer because they haven't been around long enough, but is it difficult to sit with your parents? No, you would love nothing more to be in the presence of your parents. To just look at their faces, to take their guidance and their advice. Do we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like we love our parents? That's a question only you can answer. You know what love is. I'm not going to go into the definition of love. And if you're married, you probably have a better idea. But that's the connection that we need to strengthen between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. We have to learn about Allah, His names, His attributes. We have to be cognizant. We have to be mindful of Allah. And we have to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these first two help. They greatly affect that love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, being truthful with yourselves. Everyone being truthful with themselves. And how can you be truthful with yourself, my dear brothers and sisters? The easiest way to be truthful with yourself. The easiest way is to hold yourself accountable. You believe something, then hold yourself accountable when you contradict it. You said something, then hold yourself accountable when you contradict that saying. You do something that is in contradiction with the Quran, with the prophetic tradition of our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, be the first to hold yourself accountable. Like Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said, hold yourself accountable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds you accountable. So, how do we hold ourselves accountable? It's a matter of a question. Why did I do this? Questioning your intention, your sincerity. Questioning your actions, your speech. And it's not like you're going to be sitting there, you know, going through a checklist every time you do something. Juan, it's not. I'm not complicating it. I'm trying, to make it complicated. It's very simple. You just need to think about it. That's all. You think that the Prophet ﷺ said something or did something, that, you know, an action, or the companions even, without thinking about where that's going to get them in this dunya and in the akhirah, that they, you know, just decided that they're going to do something and they didn't know what the implications were going to be, or the repercussions or consequences, if there were any. People make mistakes. Yes, nobody's infallible except the Prophet ﷺ. But we can correct these mistakes. When you hold yourself accountable and you're truthful with yourself, then you can repent. You can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. You can expiate your sins. As opposed to being heedless and careless with your actions and with what you do. To be truthful with yourself, you also have to act on your beliefs. It's not enough that you believe. And I won't go into detail in this matter because we have spoken about it throughout. We have to act on our beliefs. If you believe something, my dear brothers and sisters, it's not just for the sake of the status quo. As Muslims, we have to believe in these five pillars. Okay, it's not like check, 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 see you later. No. You have to put these into action. You have to take these to the reality. You have to make them something tangible. An action, some type of action that can be like, yes, I believe in this, and here, this is how I prove it. And this is a process, and you have to learn and seek the truth and question yourself and, you know, say, am I following in the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran, and the guidance of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, or am I not? Or am I turning away from all of that? Because it's not enough to speak. Iman, my dear brothers and sisters, as defined by Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, is qawlun bil lisan, which is speech or utterance by the tongue. And anybody? Before amalun bil jawarih? I'tiqadun bil jinan. So, it's belief in the heart. Belief in the heart. And jazakallah khair akhi for saying amalun bil arkan. And action with the limbs. You can't take one away from it. You have to believe. You have to. That has to be speech. That has to be action. And it will increase, and it will increase with worship, with obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the pleasure of Allah, and it will decrease with the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And when we're being truthful with ourselves, something to be truthful in is speech. Being truthful in our speech. And it's narrated by Bukhari and Muslim, an authority of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu an, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, the truth leads to goodness, to piety. And piety leads to Jannah. And a person persists on speaking the truth until he is written with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as truthful. And on the flip side, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that falsehood leads to evil. And evil leads to Jahannam, nar, the hellfire. And a person will keep telling a lie and persist, a man will persist on lying until they are written with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a liar. This is, look at this, this is the implication of the tongue alone. Did we backbite today? Did we slander? Did we verify whatever information we are sharing with people? It's all actions of the tongue, right? Say the tongue. You say something, and you're not truthful in that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold you accountable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish you for that. So are we truthful in our speech? That's something we have to be always mindful of. Everything I hear, do I need to share it? Everything I, you know, see on Facebook or Twitter or what have you? Do I need to like it and share it and forward it? Have I investigated the matter? Have I looked into it? Do I know if it's the truth even? Because what does the Prophet ﷺ say? It is enough for a man to be called a liar by what? By sharing everything they hear. This is the tongue. The shortcomings of the tongue. You heard something, طيب. If you share everything you hear, not everything is going to be right. And there is a big chance that people will not trust you anymore. People will not find you truthful. They will not take your word. And this is, subhanAllah, a repercussion here in this dunya. It's a consequence, rather, in the dunya before the akhirah. And so, this is something important. This is how we are truthful. We are mindful of what we say. And so also there is truthfulness in action and in our actions and in our interactions with other people. Are we truthful and sincere in what we want for our fellow believers? In giving them advice, are we truthful? Are we sincere? Do we love them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And all these are questions to make us think. Because when you think about sharing something with someone or dealing with someone, are you truthful with them? Do you feel that you are being truthful with them, or you just want to get that bargain? You know those $5 off whatever item you're trying to buy? Trying to, you know, talk down their product and talk down whatever they're selling and I can get it somewhere else for cheaper. Is that being truthful? It's a small example. Is that being truthful with how we act with people? Do we want goodness for others? Do we not khair for our people? Do we think about that? And with all of this, my dear brothers and sisters, I want to, in this interaction, I want to share with you a hadith. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, as narrated by Bukhari, an authority of Salma رضي الله عنها, that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, I am only a human being. And people might come to me with their disagreements. And one of them might be more eloquent. One of them might be well versed. One of them might be more convincing than his opposition. And so I will pass a verdict in his favor. So, if he is wrong, if he has taken the right of his brother, and I have given him this verdict, let him take my verdict. And if it's wrong, then it will be a piece of hellfire, a piece of nar. So if he wants to take it, take it. If he wants to leave it, leave it. We know ourselves. We know if we're being truthful in general. We know what we are doing, what we are saying, how we're dealing with people, things that come out of our mouths, our beliefs, our actions, whatever it may be. And so, maybe a person might not be able to tell, maybe Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam might not be able to tell because you're such a good actor. But know that whatever you are doing, if you are in the red, if you are wrong, then perhaps you will be taking a piece of fire from somewhere or from someone. May Allah protect us all from that. And to conclude, my dear brothers and sisters, I wanted to share with you the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, where she said there was nothing more despised to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam than lying. If someone he knew would lie, he would not find contentment or he would not find comfort until they repented from their lie. So Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. She said, can the believer be a coward? So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, yes, he can be a believer and he can be a coward. There's no issue there. So she asked him, radiallahu anha, can the believer be miserly? Can he be, you know, greedy? And is that possible? So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, yes, he can. So Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, can the believer be a liar? Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, no. How would you substantiate that belief if you are a liar? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us truthfulness in our actions, in all of our actions. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us firm and steadfast. And my dear brothers and sisters, I'm very happy to be amongst you. And such beautiful, beautiful people, mashallah. I'm wondering where all the beautiful people left and from Toronto. And I guess they all gathered here somewhere in Calgary. So, mashallah. May Allah protect you all. And jazakum Allah khair for your hospitality and for your kindness. The brothers, they asked me to give a little introduction. So I couldn't do it at the beginning because I wanted to start off with a little story from our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, from the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So a little about me. My name is Ratib Mir'i. I was raised here in Canada. Originally I'm from Palestine. Alhamdulillah, you know, I've been in Toronto most of my life. I studied in Medina. I was blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go to the holy land of, you know, the land of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and to spend a good, you know, 7 years there. Some of the best time of my life. And I graduated from the Faculty of Sharia, Faculty of Islamic Law, and currently, you know, just doing speaking engagements and meeting up with beautiful communities and beautiful people like yourselves. And inshallah, you know, I hope to see you guys again.